When you get saved, how do you get saved? Yes. Faith and grace. Yes. When you get healed, how do you get healed? Faith and grace. When you get delivered, how do you get delivered? Why is it? Now, it's not so much here as other places that I've been to. Why is it then we think we have to do something to prosper? Okay, moving right along. See, the same grace, the same faith that healed you, set you free, saved you, filled you with the Holy Spirit, is the same faith and grace that will deliver you to prosperity. Say, well, I know, but I was taught to sow seed. You can sow seed, that's no problem. That's no problem. But what are you doing? Giving to get? Okay, moving right along. Shelly, you better start the car this morning. It's not getting any better. It's going downhill from here. So, yes, I know you are. Okay, let me ask you this. You say, I'm on this side of the cross. Not that side, but this side. Then why is it you feel condemnation and you let people put you under condemnation for not giving that 10%? How about let's do it this way? 10% is fine. That's no problem. That's a minimum. Let's just do it this way. God, where's that verse at? Hey, you're running my flow. Okay? Always, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. How about being ready to abound in every good work by being able to ask God, God, I want to be in on what you're doing in Bethesda Worship Center. Now tell me what I need to do that. What do you want me to give? What do you want me to give this morning? What do you want me to give once a month? I'm not going to forget that one. This is not a subtle morning. If it had been this evening, if I'd have done this evening service, it would have been more subtle. But you caught me in the morning, I'm not subtle. So why not ask God and say, God, look, if you can hear God in the offering, if you can hear God concerning your money, you're going to be able to hear Him anytime. Because the big thing that's got your life is your money! So why not ask Him and say, Lord, I don't care if it's 10% or 90%. I don't care whether we're sowing seed or not, because Your grace delivers me to that place of prosperity, so I don't have to sow anything. I just get to get in on what You're doing. Now tell me what You want me to do. Is it 90%? Is it 50%? Is it 10%? Is it a certain amount? I want to abound to every good work. Alright, now we'll go to this morning's message. That had nothing to do with this morning's message. That was just food for thought. Okay? Food for thought. Food for thought. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know where I'm going. I just got to figure out how to get there. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians and chapter 10. And we'll start in verse 3. I'll lay a little background. Now, I'm going to take these verses knowing the context that they're in, but I'm going to apply them on an individual basis. Paul was talking here, and he was letting some people that had been after him and saying that his apostleship wasn't quite so, and he was letting them know what was about to happen. Now, we're going to use it on ourselves. We're going to turn around because, you know, you've got to come to that place of dividing the soul from the spirit. Here's an example. Here's a real good example. I'll never forget this. That's why I'm telling it. It didn't happen to me, but it was such a good example. I thought, man, that is... This guy woke up one morning and said, and he thought that the Lord had told him to go downtown to his barbershop. And when he got there, there would be a guy there that he could witness to and tell him about the Lord. So he goes down to the barbershop. Now he's believing he's heard God's voice. He gets to the barbershop, and the barbershop is closed. I'd say he missed it. What do you think? But how many of you have done that? Maybe not the barbershop, but maybe something similar. Besides me, who has done that? See, I'm willing to admit it. The rest of you might as well raise your hand. So he gets to the barbershop, and the barbershop's closed. Now, what happened? He didn't divide the Spirit of God from his own soul and the thoughts and things, the intellect and everything. He didn't divide that. If he had of, he'd have known that the barbershop was closed and there wouldn't have been any use to go down there. So we've got to come to that place that we divide the soul from the spirit, that we may hear His voice clearly. See, I've seen a lot of people go tilt. I think it was maybe the last time that Shelley taught, I'm not sure, maybe the time before, she mentioned about locating the ear of your spirit. And, you know, your spirit has a hand. It has a leg. And the hand is connected to the arm. And the arm is connected to the shoulder. And the shoulder to the body. So therefore, if it has an arm and it has a hand, and it has a leg, then it must have a head and it must have an ear. I mean, you can't see it going around without an ear, can you? So it's got to have an ear. So you need to locate the ear of your spirit. And then when you locate that, and she was telling about, you know, whenever you pray in tongues, and you pray in tongues out loud, 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 and then you stop all of a sudden. You can hear in the background, so to speak, those tongues still going on. And it may take several times for you to do this. You may get it the first time, but usually it'll take several times you doing that to hear those going off. When you hear those going off, you've just located the ear of your spirit. And you from that, if you practice that, if you practice that and practice that, you'll get to where you can distinguish the voice of God. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. We know that. It takes a while, so don't give up. But you've got to, at some point, start distinguishing what is the soul, what is the intellect, what is the mind, natural mind, what is that, and divide it from what is actually the spirit. Or you'll end up at the barbershop all the time with it closed. See? Basically. And so, that's why we've got to take the things necessary to put the soul in its place and turn it more toward God, because you'll never get rid of your soul. And you'll never get rid of your flesh until it's time to leave this earth. Then you'll shed this body. And you'll either go to hell or heaven or wherever we go, but you're going to go somewhere. Well, until that time, you've got this flesh to contend with, and it wants to do its thing, and you got your soul, it wants to do its thing. Well, the soul, we can't get rid of it. The flesh, we can, through the Word of God and things in the Word, we can pretty well put it to death to an extent. But you, the soul, you're going to have to turn it toward God. You don't have any choice. You've got to do the things necessary to turn it toward God, to where it starts seeking things of God instead of the things that it wants to seek. And you've got to start distinguishing, okay, is this my soul? Or is this my spirit? Or is this my flesh? You know, whenever you get born again, I could have made this example a little bit clearer, but when you get born again, or before you get born again, you've got this chain around your neck. And Satan's got the other end of it. Now, when you get born again, your spirit gets born again. Your flesh doesn't. Your soul doesn't. Your spirit gets born again. The problem is, you still got the chain around your neck. Now, yes, he does have to release the chain. But here's the problem. The chain's still around your neck. And if you let him, and you don't do the things necessary to enforce his defeat over your life, he can grab that chain and start leading you the wrong direction at any time. That chain is still around your neck. So you've got to do the things necessary in the Word of God to make sure that he doesn't get a hold of that chain and start leading you down a path of destruction. Destruction of reasonings. Oh my God, I'm falling apart. I don't know what to do. It's destruction of reasonings. See, you've lost all coherency, so to speak, or you can get to that point. See. So anyhow, here in 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." See, even though we've got that chain there, we still don't war by the flesh, we war through the Spirit. We have to walk in this body. We have to stay in this body until time to go on to heaven or hell. Heaven, hopefully, if you're at this point, or paradise or whatever. We're not going to get into that discussion this morning. I've already opened up enough this morning. I'm not even sure I'll be invited back. At this point, it's kind of iffy. But anyhow, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Look, You've got to start living a daily life in God. You've got to start applying things in the Word of God that you can start seeking Him out and being with Him, being one with Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? All the things that it talked about before it gave that verse. See? You've got to start seeking Him out and becoming one with Him, because you can't use these weapons of warfare without being apart with Him, without being together with Him. That's what it says here. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. You've got to be in God to use those weapons. For what? For the pulling down of strongholds. For the stopping of your flesh and your soul from letting it lead you around day to day. You want to be led by the Spirit. You want to become a mature one in Christ. You've got to start doing the things necessary to be able to do that. That means you've got to get in the Word of God and start turning the Word of God not toward your neighbor who you think's doing you wrong, but toward yourself. You've got to turn that sword inward and say, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to cut this off. And He's not going to be able to pick up that chain any longer. Yes, I've still got this flesh to deal with, but He's not going to be able to lead me around with that chain any longer. I'm not going to let Him, because I'm using these weapons in the Word of God to start training my soul to go the way it's supposed to. You can't let those emotions lead you around your entire life. If you do, you'll never really walk with God. Oh, you might an inkling here and there. I don't want to make it too rough on you. It's a Sunday morning. We're supposed to have a soft little message on Sunday morning. That's what we do in most churches. We have a soft little message on Sunday morning. If you really want to get down to brass knuckles, you invite the evangelist in on Sunday evenings. Hey, I've been around a little while. I know what happens. But you've got to start doing those things necessary that the soul is not going to lead you around. Say, I'm going to stop this. Well, you can say, I'm going to stop this all you want to. But if you don't have any power behind it, it's not going to do you any good. You can say, I'm going to stop this all you want to. Now, if you confess the Word of God over your life and use things in the Word of God, praying in other tongues, eventually you will stop it. But you can't just say, I'm going to stop this. That's your will. Willpower won't get you very far. It'll get you a little ways for a moment, but in a moment or two later, the soul is back leading you around the same way again. See? So you've got to do something more to change your life and to get that soul going toward God. It's God you need to listen to, soul. It's not my flesh that you need to listen to. It's not my intellect. It's not my education that you need to listen to. You need to listen to God. And here's what God says. He says, I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm walking with Him. That's what God says. That's what the Word says. The Word says, I'm healed. And your flesh says, yeah, but. Those yeah buts will catch you every time. You don't want those yeah buts. You need to get rid of those yeah buts. Say, I'm healed. Yeah, but. I don't feel like it. When did God say in here that you could walk by your feelings? Never. Never. So you've got to start turning that soul toward God, and the only way you're going to be able to do that is use the Word of God and the weapons that is in it. You know, I mentioned fasting. I never do a message without mentioning fasting. I was known in the prayer center family over Tulsa as the fasting king. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to fasting. I've been there. I've lost count of the 40-day fast that I've done. So I'm just telling you that to let you know that I've been there. And I never teach on fasting during Thanksgiving and Christmas. So just rest. You're okay. Just be at peace. Be at peace. So is that Jesus overcame the world for you, so you should be at peace anyhow. One preacher said one time, he said, I don't fast because Jesus fasted and he got tempted, so why would I want to fast if he got tempted in my place? Well, I got an answer for it. I'll give it later on. I know, Lord, you're not going to let me say who that was. But we've got to start taking the things in the Word of God, the weapons of our warfare, we've got to start taking those and turning them on ourselves. See, most people think, well, I'm going to use those weapons to turn them on something else, the devil mainly. Yes, that's correct. But how about turning them on ourselves that we can start correcting things and headed a different direction that we can overcome what has come against us? See, that's what it's all about. We want to overcome those things of the soul. We want to turn that soul toward God. You're not going to lead me around any longer by my emotions. Flesh, you're not going to lead me around any longer. I'm free. Terry, you're free. You just don't know it yet. Amen. See, that flesh, you know, it'll lead you around in different areas. The soul will lead you around different areas. We don't want to be led by either one of those. We want to start using the Word of God, the things in the Word of God, all of it, not just part of it. You can go anywhere in town or across this state and find a church for every area that will use one of the areas, but it's hard to find churches that use all of them. That's the problem. We want to use all of them. And I know I'm in the right church because this church wants to use all of them. It wants all the victory. Praise God forevermore. For cast, pulling down stronghold, casting down arguments. Have you noticed how much your mind, your soul, will argue with you? Once again, them yalbits, you know, will come in every time. You know, you say something about God, your soul or your flesh right away will perk right up and say something contrary, and we blame it on the devil. Get behind me, Satan. Well, it may be sometimes, but we give the devil too much credit. We need to start laying it where it really is, which is on the flesh's door or the soul. We need to start laying it in there and say, no, I've got to correct this. I've got to do something to turn that the right direction. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, how are you going to know the knowledge of God unless you get in the Word of God? See, if you're not seeking out parts in the Word of God or all of it, hey, right now, I'll be honest and I'll be satisfied, and I know Pastor will too, if you just get part of the Word of God. See, you got to turn to the Word of God and start finding out just what is the knowledge of God. How do I know when this thing is exalting itself against the knowledge of God if I don't know the knowledge of God? You know, and for a long time, you know, the prayer center, you know, over at Tulsa has a reputation, you know, of praying in tongues, of course. You all know that by now. And, I mean, we spent hours. I have no idea how many hours I've spent praying in tongues. I have no idea whatsoever. But one of the letdowns, my opinion here, this is my opinion, and I think it proves itself out, but one of the letdowns was that along the way, they never heard Pastor Dave say, pray in tongues while you're reading the Word of God. They would pray in other tongues, but they wouldn't read the Word of God. They laid it aside. They didn't mean to. They just did it. And if you don't get the Word of God with that praying in tongues, you're not going to have the knowledge of God. And besides that, when you pray in other tongues and you're reading the Word of God, it's going to put that deep down inside you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He's the teacher. Well, what's he going to teach with? The Word of God. See? So we've got to not only pray in tongues, and I know we've been pushing you to pray in tongues, and we're going to keep pushing you. I got news for you right now. If you think we're going to quit, close your ears, Pastor. Close your ears like this. If you think that we're going to quit pushing you to pray in tongues, you might as well go to another church. Ain't going to happen.
Amen.
See.
Amen.
But along the way, you've got to take in the Word of God, whether it be on tape, on audio, or reading it, or memorizing it. Memory of the Word of God. Memorizing the Word of God is just a tool. It's not your answer. It's just a tool. You meditate the Word of God and read it and read it and read it over while you're praying in other tongues. That way you're taking it in. Because if you don't have the knowledge of God, how are you going to know when something is exalting itself against Him? And you want to stop that. You want to stop that when the enemy tries to exalt something against the Word of God, because he's fixing to lead you down the wrong road. Lead you astray. You'll be going down to Guyana to drink Kool-Aid or something. See. Or you'll be proclaiming your Elisha to come. Was it Elisha or Elijah? Branham. Yeah, Elijah to come, first thing you know. So you gotta have something there to identify what is happening to you. That's why you've got to read the Word of God. And you've got to have something to direct your soul toward. You say, well, I'm not going to let my soul think these things. What are you going to direct it to? Well, this is it, the Word of God. You're going to direct it to the Word of God. You're going to turn it that direction. The Word of God says this. Whatever that situation is, whatever it's trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought ought to be brought into the obedience of Christ. But if you don't know, once again, what the knowledge is, how are you going to know when to bring it into obedience or not? Now, you know, you don't have to be very versed in the Word of God to know that adultery is wrong. You don't have to be very versed in the Word of God to know that you're not supposed to steal. That's wrong. But then some things, he's real slick. See, he's real slick about tearing down your defenses and slowly deceiving you over a period of time. Like, for instance, like water dripping out of a waterfall off to the side, a little drip on a rock, feeding it drip after drip after drip. Over a period of time, it wears a spot in that rock. Well, Satan thinks he's got all the time necessary to deceive you over a period of time. So he'll take his time, if necessary, to deceive you. It won't be obvious. I mean, if we get up here and we get an 18-year-old girl and stake her down here on a pentagram, you'd look at it and you'd say, that's got to be the devil. Well, you'd know that was the devil if we'd done that. You'd know to turn around and walk out.
Amen.
But what if he is deceiving you drip by drip, slowly and slowly and slowly over a period of time? Are you going to recognize it? Some haven't. That's why you've got to have the Word of God. When you're praying in tongues, reading the Word of God. Reading and meditating the Word of God. Taking it in your life. That you can start recognizing things. And start directing that soul and that flesh. No, you're not going. I'm not going to let you go that direction. You're not going to do that. We're going to stay here with the Word of God. By His stripes, I'm healed. That's what the Word of God says. No, soul, there ain't no yalbits coming in this place. No, I'm healed. By His stripes, I was healed. I was already healed by His stripes. See? How many of you read it with the word was in there? See, a lot of people don't. They say, by His stripes I'm healed. By His stripes I was healed. I was already healed. It's already done. I don't have to wait for it any longer. It's already here!
Hallelujah.
Glory
Hallelujah.
To God. It's already here. I believe they're awake. I believe they're awake. Taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, everything that tries to exalt itself in your mind, in your emotions, everything that tries to come against you and yank that chain. No. By His stripes I'm healed. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that though He was rich, for my sakes He became poor, that I might become rich. No more poverty. No more poverty, praise God. Turn with me to Jude 16. I know you've been there in the past a little bit, but let's look at it again. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I just love the Word of God.
Amen.
The more you get in it, you'll fall in love with Jesus all over again because He is the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, he's talking about these people that were causing problems in the early church. We won't go through the whole thing, although I'd like to. I really like what Jude says, even though it's a short book. He said in verse 16, he said, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. How many have run into somebody like that? You're a good old boy. You're a good old gal. You know that. I'm going to stick with you the rest of my life. I'm going to help you. Anything you need to do, I'll be there. Boy, you're a good person. Well, some of them mean it. Some of them try to just gain advantage. I mean, I don't know how many. Maybe I'm the only one that's run into that. I don't know. I've had them to say things like that while we were in the ministry, when we were early in the ministry and didn't know better. They would say things, and a week later they'd be gone and we couldn't find them. But you, beloved, remembering the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons, sense-ruled. It means sense-ruled. They're ruled by their senses. They're ruled by their soul. They're ruled by their emotions. Making those decisions, walking according to it. Not walking according to God and what God says, but what their souls want to do. What their senses want to do. Now this is why it's important to pray in tongues. This is a good verse here. If you want to know why it's so important to pray in tongues, right here. Because the devil, you know, most of you probably know by now, he'll try to talk you out of praying in tongues. For one reason or the other, he'll try to convince you of, you know, oh, you don't need to pray in tongues. It's not doing no good. Why are you praying in tongues? It's not doing any good. Hey, this is not the first church I've been to. Did I tell you that? These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And when you go up, we know that when you go up and climb a ladder, you got to leave something behind the ground. Well, it's the same way when you pray in other tongues and you're building yourselves up on your most holy faith, you're going to start leaving some things behind that were a part of your life. You didn't get that way overnight. It's not going to change overnight. You got to keep praying in tongues. You got to keep reading the Word of God. You got to start intentionally, on purpose, start making changes in your life, in your soul, in your emotions, in your flesh. You've got to start making decisions. We're not going to do that any longer. The Word of God says this, and you pray in other tongues some more until you build yourself up and leave that part of your life behind forever. And that way, when you pray in other tongues, man, you're accomplishing several things. You're leaving things behind that aren't good for you. You're starting to learn to be sensitive to the Word of God. You start being able to distinguish between the soul and the spirit and what is actually God's voice and what is the soul speaking or your emotions speaking. I mean, your emotions will speak to you. I see a lot more than what most people see in that Mark 11:23-24. Hey, you know, if you speak to the mountain will have to move. What if it speaks back? Then what do you do? That's when you pray in tongues a little while longer and speak to it again. Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in other tongues that you can distinguish what is actually God's voice and what is your soul. And then, He will empower you. But now listen, He will empower you, but you have to make the decision to make the change. In the Word of God, it doesn't say that God will put away the lying in your life. It says you put away the lying. We have a part in this. It's not just, well, it's the grace of God. I'll just stand here and it'll be gone by tomorrow. Surely it'll be gone by tomorrow. Surely this will be different tomorrow. No, you keep praying in other tongues. You keep using the Word of God, confessing it over your situation. That's what we're doing up here when we walk back and forth. We're trying to not only do that for the church, but we're trying to set an example for everybody in the church to use it in their own life so you can start making changes. There's just one problem with this whole thing. It won't work if you don't do it. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. If you don't do it, if you don't confess the Word of God, it won't work. If you don't confess it and confess it and confess it. If you don't pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues, it won't work. You've got to do these things. If you don't fast, it won't work either. But we'll talk about that after Christmas. You don't have to worry about Thanksgiving. You might want to fast trunks of treats. No Snickers. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, if I've left out anything you want to say, I just ask that you bring it to light. I always pray before every service. Even if I'm not doing the preaching, I pray and I say, Lord, open my ears to hear what you want me to hear. Open my eyes to see the things that